Two more? You can do it while I'm reading scripture here, even if you'd like to. Hear the word of the Lord spoken through the apostle to the church at Ephesus. I'll be reading from the Common English Bible. This is why I, Paul, am a prisoner of Christ for you Gentiles. You've heard, of course, about the responsibility to distribute God's grace, which God gave to me for you, right? God showed me his secret plan in a revelation. As I mentioned briefly before, when you read this, you'll understand my insight into the secret plan about Christ. Earlier generations didn't know this hidden plan that God has now revealed to his holy apostles and prophets through the Spirit. This plan is that the Gentiles would be co-heirs and parts of the same body, and that they would share with the Jews in the promises of God in Christ Jesus through the gospel. I became a servant of the gospel because of the grace that God showed me through the exercise of his power. God gave his grace to me, the least of all God's people, to preach the good news about the immeasurable richness of Christ to the Gentiles. God sent me to reveal the secret plan that had been hidden since the beginning of time by God, who created everything. God's purpose is now to show the rulers and powers in the heavens the many different varieties of his wisdom through the church. I need to read that sentence. Can I read that again? That one really struck me, so there it is. Okay. God's purpose is now to show the rulers and powers in the heavens the many different varieties of his wisdom through the church. This was consistent with the plan he had from the beginning of time that he accomplished through Christ Jesus our Lord. In Christ, we have bold and confident access to God through faith in him. So then, I ask you not to become discouraged by what I'm suffering for you, which is your glory. This is why I kneel before the Father. Every ethnic group in heaven or on earth is recognized by him. I ask that he will strengthen you in your inner selves from the riches of his glory through the Spirit. I ask that Christ will live in your hearts through faith. And as a result of having strong roots in love, I ask that you'll have the power to grasp love's width and length, height and depth, together with all believers. I ask that you'll know the love of Christ that is beyond knowledge, so that you will be filled entirely with the fullness of Christ. Glory to God, who is able to do far beyond all that we could ask or imagine by his power at work within us. Glory to him in the church and in Christ Jesus for all generations, forever and always. Amen.
Okay, Tychicus, so you ready to start? Listen, brother, I'm really sorry your hand cramped up as badly as it did. I have to admit, it's the first time I've ever seen a pen fall out of somebody's hand like that. But you're better now? Good, thank you. Just let me put myself in the proper frame. Yes, I'm going to take a minute to think about, well, I know we're writing to all the churches in Asia, but Asians just sounds kind of strange. And Ephesus is really the only church I know anyway, so I'm just going to call them Ephesians. But you know how I work. If I can just fix them in my mind's eye, it will be like I'm talking directly to them, not just to a wall. And no, I don't want to sit down. I think better standing up. But something to lean against? Well, you're right. I'm not feeling very well. That might not be a bad idea, though I think you're just hoping that if I walk less, I'll talk less. So where did you put the copy that you made? Oh, right. It's right here. Sorry. Thank you. Now, where were we? Let's see. Tychicus, I never finished my prayer for the Ephesians. I must have forgotten I was writing a prayer. I went off on a tangent. It was a good tangent, but still, I wonder why we didn't catch that. Oh, of course you caught it. Why didn't you tell me? Because it was a good tangent, and you didn't want to interrupt. Well, that's something anyway. Thank you. But still, I need to finish that prayer. So let's see. Where did I leave off? Okay. No longer exiles and resident aliens, fellow citizens with the members of the house of God, built on the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus, the cornerstone, being built by the Spirit into a temple for God. Okay. Ready? Good. Continuing. That's why I, Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus for the sake of you Gentiles. I assume you know about that, right? I know some of you do. God made me the steward of his grace. He gave me the job of distributing his grace to anyone who would receive it. He gave me insight into the mystery of Christ. I didn't figure any of this out myself. No one did, because no one could until God revealed it to the whole world in Jesus. The mystery is that when God chose the Jews, he didn't just choose the Jews. He chose them as part of his secret plan to save you Gentiles too. He told Abraham that in him, God would bless all the families of the earth, not just Abraham's family. But really, God went further than that. He has made you Gentiles part of Abraham's family. Heirs of the promise to Abraham, just like the Jews. He's made Jews and Gentiles one body, with Christ as our head. We'll get to that more in a little bit. I don't want to sidetrack myself again. What? I already have? Oh, the prayer, right. Well, I'll get back to that too. Let me finish this thought before I lose it. Continuing. God has made Jews and Gentiles one body, with Christ as our head, and he has given his Holy Spirit to you Gentiles, just the same as to us Jews. We are all one in the Spirit. It was God's secret plan that no one saw coming. Somehow or other, God has taken people who were bitterly opposed to each other and put us all together and united us as the church. We have nothing in common but Jesus. But the mystery of the church is that having only Jesus in common is enough. This is amazing good news. And God included me, which is a mystery all by itself. I was utterly unworthy of him. I tried to destroy his people. But that's how big God's grace is and how great his power is, that he could not only include me in his grace, but transform me into a servant of his grace. I'm still the absolute rock bottom of the saints, just hanging on to the bottom of the ladder by my toenails. But he gave me the gift anyway, to preach the good news to you Gentiles everywhere I go. Do you understand? He gave me the privilege of proclaiming the unfathomable riches of Christ. Can you see how wonderful that is? I could do nothing for the rest of my life but talk about Jesus and what God has revealed in him, and I would never get to the end of the story. I'd never get to the end of the first chapter. None of us will ever get to the end of the story. It just keeps going. God created everything, and we shattered it. And now in Jesus, he's redeeming it. And that's just the beginning. And it keeps getting better. He didn't just include me in this, as bizarre as that is. He included all of us. The wisdom of God has more sides than we can count. It has more colors than we can see. And in uniting all of us with all of our differences into one body, he's made us an image of his wisdom. It's a mystery how God can make one body, the church, out of Jews and Gentiles who can't stand each other, out of people from all different cultures and languages who can't understand each other, out of slaves and masters and men and women, all as equals before him, which the world can't understand. Nobody saw this coming, and nobody can make heads or tails of it. In the world, you know how it is. You pledge your allegiance to your tribe, your race, your class, your political party, your culture, and that tells you who you're for and who you're against. To take people across all those groups and bring us all together and give all of us together a higher allegiance to make us one family without erasing any of those differences is far too complex for the world to understand, let alone for the world to do. But God has done it. He's done it to make us a physical picture of the beautiful complexity of his wisdom. It's like a great diamond with each of our differences as one of the facets, all of them pointing different directions, but all of them part of something whole and something beautiful. And God has done this to make his wisdom obvious to the whole host of spiritual powers. And listen, I know you're afraid of them. I know you have good reason to be. You've seen the kind of supernatural powers displayed in Ephesus. I know you see great forces shaping your lives that you cannot control. I know there are many of you who used to yield to the temptation to influence them through magic and have now put that aside for Christ. I know there are many other ways that you are tempted to give in to them or to try to coerce them or to try to take advantage. But understand this. Those powers which are hostile to God work to divide people. They strive to make enemies by using differences to breed hostility and fear. The powers of darkness teach people to see others who aren't like them or who disagree with them as threats to them who must be destroyed. The enemy wants people to believe it to be good and right to inflict pain and shame on their enemies, and even to find pleasure in doing so. Understand this and listen to me carefully. The mere fact of your existence is proof to those powers that their power has been broken and their days are numbered. God has reconciled you, has reconciled us across all those differences. In the church, he has brought an end to all those divisions, showing that his wisdom is great and complex and many-faceted enough to incorporate all of them, to include them all in one body. Wait, what? Well, you're right. I mean, it's a first draft. We'll probably need to tighten it up before we send it. And yes, I need to get back to finishing the prayer again. But it connects. Listen, this is God's eternal purpose. This is the mystery which he revealed in Christ and is revealing in the church. To make Jews and Gentiles, civilized people and barbarians, men and women, rich and poor, old and young, slaves and free, all one people. All his people in Jesus. And Jesus has accomplished his purpose. And this is the God we worship. And this is Jesus in whom we have believed. And this is our proof that we can pray with complete openness and complete confidence. We can go to God boldly. Because just as he has reconciled us to each other across all that divided us, so he has reconciled us to himself across everything that divided us from him. And giving us access to the very throne of all creation is another way in which he has displayed his wisdom in us to all those powers which would oppose him. And so in light of that, please, don't let my own troubles discourage you. I know there are some of you who know me and feel bad for me personally in my imprisonment. Tychicus has brought me some messages from some of you, and I'm very grateful for them. Most of you, of course, don't know me, but I can understand if you see my confinement as a victory for the powers opposed to God. I've heard some of that as well. And I'll be honest, I can sympathize. I mean, this is a comfortable house, but I admit that having been locked in it for years now is a little discouraging for me at times. But even if it can be hard for me, please don't let it get you down. You see, whatever I may suffer, I don't enjoy it, but it's no defeat, either for me or for the cause of Christ. My suffering is for you and for the whole body of Christ, the church, which means it's my participation in the suffering of Christ himself. And it's an honor to be allowed to share in the suffering of Christ, because it's through his suffering that we have the hope of glory. If I suffer with him so that you and others may have that hope, then my suffering is no cause for discouragement. In fact, it is your glory. This is why I kneel before the Father in humble reverence and submission to pray for you. I pray to the one to whom every family in earth owes its existence, all the spiritual powers in the heavens, even those hostile to him, and every human tribe and clan and people. They all exist only because he made them. They continue to exist only because he sustains them moment by moment. I pray that you would be strengthened by his power through his Holy Spirit from the inside out, on the lavish scale of his inexhaustible glory. The world will do everything it can to discourage you. The enemy will do everything he can to make you feel that you are doomed to failure, whether as individuals or a church. He will do everything he can to convince you that whatever is going wrong is just going to keep going wrong and there's nothing you can possibly do to stop it, that you're headed inexorably for disaster, like a ship blown before the wind to a rocky shore. And so I pray that the limitless power of God will give you strength in the core of your being to resist and overcome discouragement, so that even when you feel your bodies wasting away under the burdens of the world, you will feel him renewing your hearts day by day by day. I pray that the more you are empowered by the Spirit of God, the more your faith will be strengthened to experience the reality of the continual spiritual presence of Christ in your hearts, in the command center of your lives. You have been rooted and grounded in the love of God in Christ. His love is the foundation on which your lives are being rebuilt, and it is the soil in which you grow. Out of his love, by the power of his Spirit, Christ is transforming you into his likeness. And I pray that you would know in every fiber of your being, beyond doubt, beyond fear, that he is with you and that you are being changed. And that though it often hurts, that being purified, being pruned, being tempered is painful. Yet the end is blessing. And as you grow in the love of God, I pray that he would strengthen you and all his people to know the breadth and the length, the height, the depth, as high as the heavens are above the earth, as far as the east is from the west, the infinite dimensions of the mystery. I pray you would know what is beyond knowledge, the incomprehensibly great love of Christ. You will never know it fully, for you will never reach the end of it. You will never wrap your minds around it, for it will never fail to exceed even your wildest imagination. But I pray that by the power of God, you will experience it so fully that you will grasp with your hearts what you cannot describe with your words. You cannot know the limits of his love. I pray that you will come to know, bone deep, soul deep, that his love truly has no limits. And that this knowledge will transform your lives. That it will be a light for your heart in the darkest times, and heat when the world is coldest. All the fullness of God dwells in Christ, and Christ dwells in you. And you are being changed to become what you already are. And I pray for you that God would do what he has already accomplished. It is already done. I pray that you would know the doing of it, that you would see it happening and feel it happening, that he would bring you up to the measure of Christ who is within you. And that by his power, you would become fully the people he has created you to be. A light that will never be put out, and a witness that can never be disregarded to a dark and doubting and fearful world. And that seems like a ridiculously huge prayer. That's impossible. But to him who is able to do the impossible, more is able to do the implausible, who has already conceived the inconceivable to love the unlovable, to him who is able to do so much more than what I have prayed for you as to make my prayer piddling by comparison, to him who has the infinite almighty power to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ask or think or dream or imagine or wish, and is at work in us now and every moment by that infinite power. To him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen and amen and amen.